The less your business spends, the more margin you keep. But today, everything costs more. So smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. NetSuite is the number one cloud financial system, bringing accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one proven platform, helping you reduce IT costs, maintenance costs, and manual errors. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move to NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Head to netsuite.com/earnings. netsuite.com/earnings.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
Welcome to Prognosis. I'm Laura Carlson. It's day 347 since coronavirus was declared a global pandemic. Today's main story: the U.S. vaccination effort has ramped up to a pace of more than a million shots a day. But second shots are coming due, putting pressure on states and leaving some people hanging as they wait to get fully immunized. But first, here's what happened in virus news today. U.S. regulators called Johnson & Johnson's COVID-19 vaccine safe and effective. It's a key milestone on the path toward giving Americans access to the first such shot to work in a single dose. According to the Food and Drug Administration, which reviewed the company's trial results, the vaccine was 72% effective in the U.S.-based trial arm of its global study. The FDA found the vaccine to be effective against severe disease and said it worked better against mutant coronavirus strains than previously reported. New York City health officials said 6% of the city's coronavirus cases are due to the UK variant, which is believed to be more contagious. While that number is higher than officials liked, they said the number has remained steady in recent weeks. Meanwhile, the city's middle school students will return to the classroom on Thursday, bringing New York one step closer to a semblance of normalcy since the pandemic shuttered many school buildings for nearly a year. High school buildings will remain closed. Finally, the Czech Republic is preparing to impose a stricter lockdown to prevent the collapse of its medical system. So far, the government's measures have failed to contain one of the fastest spreading and deadliest outbreaks in Europe. Almost exactly a year after the first COVID-19 case appeared in the country, the crisis is worse than ever, and the situation requires a tougher response, according to Prime Minister Andrej Babiš.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. Those with the ambitious, out-of-reach ideas, begging to become real solutions. They share a vision for how our world and our lives can thrive when bold thinking meets strong silicon. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy through the power of supercomputing. They dream of trust and privacy for all, of advancing and expanding education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to build something better, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
And now for today's main story. Almost a month after U.S. vaccination campaigns ramped up to give COVID-19 shots to more than a million people a day, their second doses are now coming due. That's putting a strain on state rollouts and leaving some people without complete immunizations. I spoke to John Tozzi, who told me that as President Joe Biden accelerates purchases and distribution, critical weaknesses in the system are starting to show. With vaccine rollout firmly underway, many Americans have begun to receive their first shot of a COVID-19 vaccine, which is certainly a success. But I want to know, has prioritizing getting that first shot to Americans meant that the U.S. is now in trouble of making sure people get their second dose of the vaccine?
Well, I wouldn't say that we're necessarily in trouble, but there have been some challenges, as everybody kind of knew there would be with a two-dose vaccine. You know, what we've seen in the last couple of weeks, I mean, really, when you look at the vaccination campaign, the initial rollout didn't really hit its stride until kind of the middle of January, the middle and end of January, when we were sort of beginning to consistently deliver a million doses or more a day. And what happened in February is that now all those people who were getting their first doses in January are due for their second shots either 3 or 4 weeks after the initial vaccination. So it's sort of created this new pressure on the supply, while there are still many millions of people who haven't gotten their first dose. So we've seen in a couple of places that this has just led to some complications and challenges.
And so let's walk through some of the science behind the two dose vaccine here. In terms of, say, the Pfizer or the Moderna vaccine, you know, what is the timetable that is recommended between the first and second shot? And why is that timetable perhaps so important?
So in the clinical trials that the drug makers used to study these vaccines last year, the Pfizer shots were spaced 3 weeks apart and the Moderna shots were spaced 4 weeks apart. And I'm not an expert in the science, but my understanding is that, you know, the sort of first dose kind of prompts an initial immune reaction, and then the second dose seals that. It makes it more stronger and more durable and more effective. That's our understanding. So those are the timetables that were used in the trials. And because they're what were used in the trials, that's what's recommended. That doesn't mean that if you get your second dose of the Pfizer vaccine 22 days later rather than 21 days later, it's not going to work, right? There's flexibility. And the CDC has actually said, people should get their doses on the recommended timeframe. But if not, up to 6 weeks is sort of an acceptable range where things should be okay. There's some other evidence from other research that, particularly with the AstraZeneca vaccine in use in the UK, that, you know, longer time frames may be acceptable. So, you know, we're kind of dealing with the situation where what was studied in trials is now, you know, which is a very controlled situation, is now in a more, you know, in the real world. You can't always reach people at the precise interval or the supply may not be there. So I think the public health world is trying to figure out kind of how to handle that.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly the very difficult logistics of administering a two-dose vaccine are becoming evident. And to what extent are we seeing the perhaps necessary effects or necessary consequences of trying to make the decision between whether to hold back some supply of vaccine to guarantee people can get a second dose of a vaccine versus prioritizing getting as many people a first dose as possible and not worrying perhaps about supplies of the second dose until later? Is that kind of what we're starting to see in the real world, the effects of that decision?
Yeah, I think to some extent, if you go back to the middle of December when the vaccines were first being delivered, the government held back half the supply. In fact, initially, even more than half the supply to make sure there would be second doses available in time, because they were very concerned about, you know, whether there was kind of manufacturing, you know, reliable manufacturing to make the new supply. Then in January, that kind of shifted. The U.S. had more confidence in the manufacturer's ability to kind of reliably make new supply of the vaccines. And there was a real urgency to get the public vaccinated because cases were so high and climbing so quickly, certainly in December and January. So, you know, we moved from holding back a second dose reserve to now second doses are, you know, as best as we can tell, being supplied more or less out of, you know, newly manufactured vaccines. Now, I think there are some states that have, you know, and some facilities that have their own, you know, reserves that may kind of cover them for a certain period out. But, you know, it's no surprise that if we are not holding reserves, that at some point there are trouble getting enough doses to the right place at the right time. You know, we talked to a hospital system in Michigan where they actually had to cancel appointments for second doses last week because they did not get the allocation that they expected from the state. Now, I think those situations are incredibly common, but, you know, if it's your second dose that you're waiting on, it obviously matters to you.
Yeah. And I mean, this brings up kind of a question of maybe across the board numbers. You know, we're hearing about how more and more Americans are able to be vaccinated as we move through February and into March. But what kind of data is available thus far about, say, the number of Americans who have been able to get their second dose, and even more specifically, their second dose within the recommended timetable for their vaccine?
So as of today, Wednesday, according to the CDC website, about 44, 45 million Americans have gotten at least one dose, and about 20 million of them have gotten both doses. So a little less than half. Just to keep in mind, you know, many of those people, you know, people who just got their vaccine in the last 3 or 4 weeks, they're not due for their second dose yet, right? So you'd expect the number to be lower. We don't have a clear sense of how many people are sort of overdue for their second dose. The CDC has said that most people are getting it in the recommended 3 or 4 week intervals, and that only a small percentage is sort of beyond the 6 week time frame that they've kind of identified as the, you know, the sort of upper or outer limit. You know, we don't have hard numbers around that. We know from Texas earlier this month, even before the storms there, there were several thousand people who were overdue. A lot of states don't seem to be tracking this. I think it may be something that it'll take a few weeks or even months to sort of understand with better data, you know, how many people got one dose and then for whatever reason did not get or weren't able to get a second dose on time.
We have heard about whether a second shot of these two dose vaccines, say Pfizer or Moderna, is actually necessary at all, and that you're good to go, you're protected enough after receiving your first shot. What are some of the arguments there?
You know, I think the argument against that, against stretching doses or you know, only going for one dose of the vaccine, is that the trials were done with two doses, and that is what the evidence shows offers protection. Now, we do know from the trials that there is some protection after the first dose, you know, because the people in the trials got two doses. We don't have good evidence over how long that immunity might last. you know, how durable it is. You know, so in the U.S., certainly the authorities are not recommending skipping the second dose or stretching out the interval beyond, you know, what's indicated. You know, we know that other countries have been experimenting with that and doing that. The U.K., I think we're beginning to get some evidence from some of those situations. But in the U.S., the decision has been not to try and stretch the supply by only giving people one dose. And, you know, I heard the CDC director, Rochelle Walensky, yesterday on a congressional panel. She got a similar question and she said, if the drug makers had found, you know, durable immunity after one dose, they would have much preferred to have a single dose vaccine. It's easier, it increases the supply. You know, so there's a reason that two doses were used in the trials. You know, for people who are we're trying to reach and protect against the virus, particularly priority populations like healthcare workers and, you know, elderly folks, people in nursing homes. You know, the idea of stretching the doses, it's not what the U.S. authorities are recommending right now.
As we move forward through the vaccine rollout in the states, you know, we are seeing kind of an ever-changing eligibility. More and more states are opening up restrictions to allow more of their populations to get their first dose. I mean, to what extent are you expecting that the logistical hurdles of making sure not only people can get their first shot, but their second shot on time? I mean, how much are you expecting that this is going to just become more complicated and potentially more problematic as we continue through the vaccine rollout?
It's hard to say. I think, you know, one really good news item on the horizon is that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, which is being, you know, considered by the FDA this week for emergency authorization, is a single dose. You know, if that is authorized as it's expected to be, you know, that is a much simpler and much faster way to immunize people. You know, the other thing is I think the systems and just the sort of infrastructure around vaccination has been improving. You know, more people are getting vaccinated. I think some of the, you know, IT systems and, you know, booking websites, like that's still pretty chaotic in some places. And, you know, we certainly heard from people who went in for their first dose and then were not given an appointment for their second dose and had trouble booking it a little bit. I think that's still going on. But I don't think, it's hard to say whether it's going to get worse or whether it's going to get better. I think, you know, as we increase the volume of vaccinations and increase the supply, you know, hopefully some of these things will become smoother in time.
That was John Tozzi, and that's it for our show today. For coverage of the outbreak from 120 bureaus around the world, visit Bloomberg.com/coronavirus. And if you like the show, please leave us a review and a rating on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. It's the best way to help more listeners find our global reporting. The Prognosis Daily Edition is produced by Topher Forges, Magnus Henriksen, and me, Laura Carlson. Today's main story was reported by John Tozzi. Original music by Leo Sidrin. Our editors are Rick Schein and Francesca Levy. Francesca Levy is Bloomberg's head of podcasts. Thanks for listening.
Is realizing the full value of your network just a dream? Intel is bringing AI everywhere, building solutions to help modernize and monetize 5G infrastructure, making it possible for telecommunications providers to expand services and drive efficiency by reducing costs and saving energy. The next wave of networks starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know, it can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. Invisible struggles like stress and burnout, caregiving for a loved one, or being misunderstood. But insight, awareness, and empathy will help us better see the issues they're dealing with. And that can make us and our companies healthier, too. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.